So we want to start this morning by welcoming ourselves into this space. Jesus is here among us. His arms are open wide. His love is around us and in us. He guards, he was present in the past. He guards the present, and he guards the future. And we know that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. And that's why, again, we always confess together that our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you from this day forth into eternity. Amen. Our Lenten photo challenge this week was on the theme transformation. And the text comes from Isaiah 61, particularly verse 3. God will grant those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I got a number of good photos this week, so I'm going to share my screen and play the video with the photos. Just give me a second. It should come on in a second.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. 'Cause the times, they are a-changing. Come writers, come critics, you who prophesy with your pen, keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. Don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who it is naming, for the loser now will be later to win. 'Cause the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers, come fathers throughout the land, don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging, so please get out of the new one if you can't lend a hand. 'Cause times, they are a-changing. Come senators, come congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall, for he who gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. The line is drawn, the course is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the time they are changing. For the times, they are changing.
Let me just have a word of prayer. Lord, as we now spend just a couple minutes looking into your word, we do pray that you will be with us, that your spirit would speak even through this medium, that we would be comforted, that we would be encouraged, that we would have hope revived where it's needed. You will show us your way in the times in which we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to read with you today Psalm 23. It's a very, obviously very familiar psalm, but it's, sorry, I have to admit somebody here. There we go. But it's a psalm that I thought would be good to just spend, to just hear again. I don't know about how it's going with you, but I must admit that I've had a fair amount of anxiety this week. Been up in the night for at least awake, not necessarily up, but awake sometimes. Just a feeling of being unsettled. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here in this group. And I just thought it would be good to just come back and hear the truths of the scriptures again, God's word again. We're not looking for easy answers. We're not looking for perspectives that can be wrapped up in a box with a bow. We don't know how things are going to turn out. We know for some people it's already been pretty bad in a variety of ways. It could be bad for us in a variety of ways. So if you're anxious and concerned, then it's perfectly natural to have that. But I think then even more, that's why we just need to hear God's word and not say tons about it, but just hear it and let his spirit minister to us as he needs to and knows what's best for us. So what I'd like to do first is read Psalm 23, and I'm going to read three different versions. It's very familiar to us, of course. So I thought with three different versions, we'd get maybe just touch us in different ways. The first one is going to be just from the King James that many of us grew up with. So let me just read that version. And again, I just ask you to open up your ears, open up your heart, open up whatever part of you you need to, perhaps even how you're sitting, and just open yourself up to the word of the Lord. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now from the English Standard Version that we use on Sunday mornings. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then I'll read from the Message, Psalm 23. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Some of these truths that we, all of us, all know, we've known them all our lives, but it's really good to hear them again at this time, that God is our shepherd. He cares for us. We really don't need a thing. He leads us to rest by the still waters. There's quiet, fresh water to drink from. He restores our souls, especially when they're anxious, especially when they're worried, especially when they're concerned about ourselves, about those we love, about our communities, about our nation, about our world. And he sends us in the right direction. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you, and of course you know that here the pronoun turns from he to you, you are with me. I am not alone. Your comfort is there. There is a table. There is a banquet. Even in times when things seem scarce, our cup runs over. It's filled to the brim. Our head is anointed with oil. There are signs of prosperity, of joy, of shalom, of peace. You can choose to not believe those words. You can choose to put them on the side. You can choose to not listen to them. You can choose to not let them become a part of you. Or you can choose to believe. You can choose to know. You can choose to feel, if possible, that these things are true, even if the circumstances don't look like it. And I know that that's not always easy to do, but it really is almost a minute-by-minute choice, certainly when there's anxiety in the middle of the night. What story am I going to believe? What story is going to guide and direct me? And then I wanted to spend just a moment on the last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I've thought a little bit this week about that word house, the house of the Lord. The Hebrew word for house is bet or beth, B-E-T-H. You've probably seen it around. There's a synagogue here, Beth Shalom. Beth Shalom. Oftentimes synagogues have that word beth. That's the Hebrew word for house. And it has a wide variety of meanings. It's a dwelling place. It's a house, a palace, a temple. It also refers to family. It refers to dynasty. And the Greek word for house is the word oikos, which you may also have heard somewhere. And it has almost the same range of meaning. House, home, household, family. It can also mean tent, place of camping. It's just a place where we are, where we're at home, where we're dwelling. So we're dwelling in the house of the Lord. And then it says, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. That's the normal translation that we know. And we tend to think of that as eternity, as happening after death and in heaven. This word is used a lot in the Old Testament. And most of the times that it's used, it's translated length of days. I don't remember if we read a translation that has it. I don't think so. But Eugene Peterson translates it this way. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. In other words, it's not just something that's future that I'm in the house of God. It's now. It's starting now. It's here through the rest of my life. It's something that's with me today. I'm in the house of the God today. And John, of course, in his chapter 1, when he's talking about Jesus, also actually says this literally. The word that is Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So it's not something that's going to happen only in the future. It's something that happens actually now, that we dwell in the house of God, the house of the Lord, for the rest of our lives in length of days. And what that means is that even where you are right now, even in your homes, even in quarantine, God is among us and we are in his house. In your own personal body, in your own personal heart, in your emotions. The New Testament says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is dwelling in us now. And in our relationships, in our marriage relationships, in our parent-child relationships, in our intergenerational relationships, our relationships to colleagues, those we have internet contact with, however we have contact with people, there is the house of God. God is present among us and also in our physical home. Even while you are there in quarantine, you are in the very house of God. And I just wonder if that might help us with our perspective on going through these days, especially as they may lengthen and get longer. And as the days and the weeks go by, we don't know how long it's going to last. But rather than seeing it as a prison, rather than seeing it as being cut off, see it as we are in the presence of God. We are dwelling in the house of God starting today. For the length of days, we're not waiting to the future. He's here among us and in us and with us. And Cindy and I subscribe to a blog, a blogger who's a pastor. His name is Steve Garness Holmes. And just this week, he sent this. It's actually kind of a poem on Psalm 23 that I thought kind of expresses what I'm trying to say in a little different way and probably in terms of language in a better way. So listen to Steve Garness Holmes. In this time of fear and uncertainty, we look with anxiety to the future, but the Good Shepherd leads you into the present moment. Anxiety is an invader from the future. The Shepherd of our souls offers us courage and comfort in this moment. Follow the path into the present. The green pastures may be distant from this shadowed valley, but they are greater than you know. You fear the smallness of your vision. Meanwhile, the Shepherd of our souls is here with us, leading us right now. Behold this moment. Behold the love. Look till you see beauty. Stay till you know. It is not protection from the future, but the presence of the Shepherd, even in the darkest day, that is our peace. Trust that peace. Follow that Shepherd into this moment. Be present. Stop and breathe again. No matter what happens in the future, God is here with you now. Be present. Amen. We believe there is a God who bends his ear to listen, And so we pray for the sick and infected. God, heal and help. Sustain bodies and spirits. Contain the spread of infection. For our vulnerable populations, and especially those, as Rick has mentioned, in Africa and other places around the world, God, protect our elderly and those suffering from chronic disease. Provide for the poor, especially the uninsured. For the young and the strong, God, give them the necessary caution to keep them from unwittingly spreading this disease. Inspire them to help. For our local, state, and federal governments, God, help our elected officials as they allocate the necessary resources for combating this pandemic. Help them to provide more tests and more protective equipment, especially for medical staff. Grant that they will speak truth, comfort, and hope. For our scientific community, leading the charge to understand the disease and communicate its gravity, God, give them knowledge, wisdom, and a persuasive voice. For the media, committed to providing up-to-date information, God, help them to communicate with appropriate seriousness without causing panic. For consumers of media looking to be well-informed, God, help us find the most helpful local information to equip us to be good neighbors. Keep us from anxiety and panic, and enable us to implement the recommended strategies, even at a cost to ourselves. For those with mental health challenges who feel isolated, anxious, and helpless, God, provide them with every necessary support. For the homeless, unable to practice the protocols of social distancing in the shelter system, protect them from disease, and provide isolation shelters in every city. For international travelers stuck in foreign countries, God, help them return home safely and quickly. For Christian missionaries throughout the world, especially in areas with high rates of infection, God, provide them with words of hope and equip them to love and serve those around them. For workers in a variety of industries facing layoffs and financial hardship, God, keep them from panic and inspire your church to generously support them. For families with young children at home for the foreseeable future, God, help mothers and fathers to partner together creatively for the care and flourishing of their children. For single mothers and fathers, grow their networks of support. For parents who cannot stay home from work but must find care for their children, God, present them with creative solutions. For those in need of regular therapies and treatments that must now be postponed, God, help them to stay positive and patient. For business leaders making difficult decisions that affect the lives of their employees, God, give these men and women wisdom and help them to lead self-sacrificially. For pastors and church leaders faced with the challenges of social distancing, God, help them to creatively imagine how to pastor their congregants and love their cities well. For colleges and university and high school students and middle school students whose courses of study are changing, whose placements are canceled, whose graduation is uncertain, God, show them that while life is uncertain, their trust is in you. For Christians in every neighborhood, community, and city, may your Holy Spirit inspire us to pray, to give, to love, to serve, and to proclaim the gospel, that the name of Jesus Christ might be glorified around the world. For frontline care workers, and here we think especially of those that we know, Joanna and Abby and Cindy and others, we thank you for their vocational call to serve us. We also pray, God, keep them safe and healthy and their families. But we also mention Sarah Bolthouse. God, help them to be knowledgeable about the diagnosis and treatment of this disease, as well as the changing protocols. Help them to stay clear-minded in the midst of surrounding panic. Deliver them from anxiety for their own loved ones. Give them compassion for every patient in their care. Provide for them financially, especially if they fall ill and are unable to work. And help Christians in healthcare to exhibit extraordinary peace so that many would ask about the reason for their hope. Give them opportunities to proclaim the gospel. We want to also remember Lorraine to you, Lord. We know that she's alone and can't have visitors. And we just pray that you would minister to her heart and to her mind, that you would keep her body healthy, that she would know your peace and presence in the midst of these confusing situations. And Lord, we thank you also for Vanjie's news that her lab results are good. She's able to skip her chemo, which also helps with the dangers of exposures to others' disease. Thank you for this good news. And we pray for your blessing on her and Dwight as they continue to go through this process and make the decisions that they need to make. We do want to, again, just especially remember those in Africa and in other places around the world where the resources are so limited. We pray that this virus will not spread there as much as it could, and that your peace and blessing will be upon all those who deal with those issues. Lord, we do thank you, too, that we're able to meet this way as a community, as your people, as your family. We pray that you would continue to show us the way to care for each other in these weeks, to pay attention to one another and to our neighbors and those around us. Lord, we trust that you are good and that you do good. Teach us to be your faithful people in this time of global crisis. Help us to follow in the footsteps of our faithful shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a few announcements. As you already have seen in the mail, the council's decided that we will not be holding on-site services through Easter. So that's up to including Easter. And again, as I mentioned before, any suggestions you have for making these moments more meaningful are very welcome. Please just let me know. We didn't talk at council about Maundy Thursday, so we need to talk about that yet. But personally, I'm for holding it. So hopefully we will do that. And then we'll also be talking about how we can celebrate communion together, whether that's a good thing to do, and if so, how. So stay alert for those announcements. Then I want to remind you of our in-touch moments, which are happening weekdays at 12:30 and 7:30 p.m. We've had a number of people join us in the last week, and it really is a nice moment to touch base, to hear each other's stories. We always have a brief moment of scripture and prayer. I'll send out the link again, and it's the same link for all of the InTouch events. Then, as you noticed in the announcements, the theme of the Lenten photo challenge for this week is refuge. It comes from Psalm 118. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So again, use your camera. Also inviting the young people to join us in that. Send in some photos, and we'll put them to music again. And it's been really cool to see all the ways in which you have thought about these themes and shared them through your pictures. And then just a reminder about the Little Free Pantry. It seems to be being used. It's not like it's empty every day or every week, but it is being utilized. The deacons will be checking on it and restocking it. If you have food you want to drop by, you can do that without breaking our social distance rules. You just drop it in the front door of the church. So please feel free to think of that when you go to the grocery store. So let me close with the blessing, and then we'll have another piece of music for you to close it off, and that music will be a rendition of Psalm 23 that some of you, I think, will recognize. Then I just ask you to hear the word of the Lord, hear his blessing over you and over all those we love and over our communities and our nation and our world. And as we hear the blessing, and then enjoy the words of Psalm 23 one more time. May El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, who loves you and protect you, may Jesus Christ, his Son, who died for you, save you. And may the Holy Spirit, who broods over the chaos and fills your life with peace, intercede for you and in you for others at this time. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thy rod and thy is overflowing. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I shall not want.